I want to take your mind back tonight to that fateful night. The night before Jesus was crucified. Jesus observed the Passover meal with his disciples in a house, in an upper room. And the Bible says that while he was talking with his disciples, he told them that that night all of them would stumble or be offended because of him. Now, Peter evidently was the first one to speak up. Peter said, "That will never happen. I will go to prison, and I will die before I will ever be offended because of you." And then the other disciples joined in with him and said that they would never, ever be offended at him. A little while later, the Bible says that they left that house. They crossed over a brook called Kidron. They came to a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. There Jesus took with him, a little farther into the garden, Peter, James, and John. He told them to sit and watch and pray, because he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus went ahead, the Bible says, about a stone's cast away, and he kneeled down and he prayed. The Bible says that after that prayer, the third time, that Judas brought with him a band of soldiers, as a matter of fact, a crowd of people with their torches and their weapons. And when they came to the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that Peter was ready. He was ready to back up his words because he drew his sword out. And he took a swing at one of those officers. The Bible says that he struck his ear. Evidently he missed what he was really striking for. He wasn't just trying to nick him, obviously. He wasn't that good with the sword. He was trying to kill him. Peter was standing up for the Lord, but Jesus said, "You put your sword back up." And then these officers proceeded to arrest Jesus. And the Bible says that then the disciples forsook him and they fled. That doesn't mean that they just went to their houses and separated themselves from him, because we know that John went with him into the house where they were going. And the Bible says that Peter followed afar off. So where did they take Jesus? They took him to the palace of the high priest. Now remember, it's dark and it's also cold. The Bible says that Jesus is in the palace of the high priest. And that's where they're accusing him. That's where they're trying to find something against Jesus. Peter didn't go into the palace itself. He stayed outside in a place that we'll call, and the Bible refers to evidently, as a more of a courtyard. And the Bible says that they built a fire. And because it was dark, and because especially it was cold, there were people that were warming themselves by the fire. Now, Peter does not want to get too close to the Lord Jesus, because if he does, he might get arrested too. So he doesn't want to be arrested. But at the same time, he doesn't want to be cold either. Now, while he's close to the fire then, warming himself, the Bible says that there was a woman that looked at him, and the Bible says she was earnestly beholding him. That means she was really staring him over. She was really looking him over. She looked and looked. Before she ever said anything, she really looked at him closely to make sure that she was right about it. And finally, she spoke. She said, "You're one of them. You are one of that man's disciples, Jesus of Nazareth. I know who you are." And the Bible says that Peter denied it. And he went out, the Bible says, into a porch, a gateway that was there. And then the scriptures say that another one came, another woman came and accused him. He said, you're one of them. I know who you are. You're one of those disciples of this Jesus of Nazareth, the guy that's inside there. And again, he denied. And then the Bible says in Luke's account only, that after about an hour, after that, then some of the men began to accuse him and say, "You're one of them." And that's when he began to curse, the Bible says, and to swear. And he said, "I do not know the man." But they said, "You're surely one of them, because even your speech indicates that he was a Galilean." And the Galileans were from up north of that area, and they were down in the southern area of Jerusalem. And evidently, up in Galilee, they had an accent to the way that they talked. And they said, "You're a Galilean. We know who you are. You're one of his disciples." And there's something about that story last week that I looked at, maybe it was the week before, but I was looking at that story and thinking about it and not really looking for this lesson here tonight, but it just occurred to me in a way that I never thought about it before. It was because Peter got up to the fire that somebody recognized him. Because you see, in front of the fire, that light was shining on his face. And even though it was getting close to daybreak, still it was dark enough. If Peter had stayed back in the shadows, then that light would not have shined on him. If he had never pulled up next to the fire, his faith would not have been tested. Nobody would really have recognized him, and we would not have the story in the Bible that we have read about many times about Peter denying the Lord. It was all because he got close to the fire, that his faith was tested, and that he was recognized for who he really was. And tonight, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about how that the same thing is true of you and I. If you get close to the fire, your faith will be tested, and people will see who you really are. If you stay away from the fire, you won't be challenged as much. You'll still be challenged, but not as much. And people won't really notice you that much if you stay away from the fire and you stay back in the background rather than the foreground. You stay in the shadows rather than in the light of that fire. This happens, first of all, in a way today with the Bible. Let's just look at the Bible and just imagine the Bible being fire. Now, the Bible shines its light on everything. It clears up questions. It shines its light on issues of our time. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and furnishes us to all good works. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. So the Bible shines light on the real issues of the day. It shines light into your soul. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, the word of God pierces into your soul and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when you draw close to the fire of the Bible, the closer that you get to the Bible, the more you're going to be tested. For instance, a person says, well, I believe that I'm an honest person. Well, if you're an honest person, the closer you get to the Bible, the more that claim is going to be tested. You say, well, I love people. I love everybody. The more that we say that, the closer that we get to the Bible, the fire, the light of God's Word, the more that we're going to be challenged. You say, well, I believe that a person ought to be fair, and I believe that I'm a fair person. Well, the closer you get to the Bible and you warm your hands with the fire of God's Word, the more those claims are going to be tested. And especially when you look at the commandments of God in the Bible, those commandments test us. Paul said that the reason he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, he writes this in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 9. He said, the reason that I wrote the first book, and in particular, he's talking in that context about how that he told them to withdraw from a disorderly member there in 1 Corinthians 5. He said, I wrote that to you to know the proof of you, in other words, to test you out, to see if you're going to be obedient in all things. The closer you get to the fire, the more you will be challenged. Now that's why you find that some people stay away from the light. They avoid that fire because they know if they get close to it, they're going to be challenged. They know that the closer they get to the fire of God's Word, the more they're going to kind of be put on the spot, you know, the more they're going to be called on to really show who they are. And so they just kind of shun away from it or shy away from that fire. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 19, that those who do evil avoid the light, lest their deeds should be exposed. That's John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. But when you get close to the Bible, you feel the warmth of God's Word, and you feel that warmth penetrating your soul, and you will be tested in ways that otherwise you would not. Now, I'm not saying that people that try to avoid the Bible are not answerable to it. They are. If they think that, well, I can just avoid the Bible, and I'll just stay ignorant of the Bible. You know, I won't really find out anything about the Bible, and that way I won't be accountable to God. I won't be responsible for it. They're responsible anyway, because they're responsible to seek God and to find Him. But at the same time, what you find is that this is very common, that people will avoid that fire because they really don't want to be challenged in their position. This is also a part of being a Christian, period. Just look at the decision to become a Christian. Think of that choice to become a child of God as a fire. Being baptized is like getting up close to that fire. Why? Well, because when you decide to become a Christian, that means that you are going to suffer tribulation. That means that you are going to be put to the test. What happened when Jesus was baptized? Right after he was baptized, went to the wilderness, and he was tempted for 40 days. What happens then when you're baptized today? We know what's going to happen. We know we're going to have trials. We know we're going to have tribulations in the Christian life. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trying of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. Yes, it's like a fire. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10, the Bible says that we are tested in a furnace of affliction. And that comes in different ways. Sometimes it comes through the trial of your loved ones. When you make the decision to become a child of God, it's like stepping up to that fire, like Peter was in front of that fire and the light was shining on his face. The light will shine on you, and the closer you get to that fire, the more you're going to be tested. And your loved ones are going to see that, especially your loved ones that are not Christians. They're going to see if you're really sincere about that. They're going to see if you really mean that. They're going to watch you, and they're going to notice if you're inconsistent or if you're consistent. They're going to notice if you're sincere or not. And sometimes they will intentionally test your loyalty to Jesus Christ. They will ask you questions. They'll try to get you not to come to church. They will try to get you to compromise in some way. Why? Because they're trying to get you to compromise, and they're trying to get you to go against your loyalty to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, 34 through 37, that you have to love God, you have to love Jesus more than your father and mother, son or daughter, anybody in this life. When you become a Christian, the Bible shows that the devil declares war on you. When you come to the fire of the decision to become a child of God, that's when your faith is going to be tested. And the same thing happens today, folks. Now, a person can stay away from the light. A person can say, okay, there's that decision to become a Christian. There's the choice. Now, I need to make that decision. I know that I need to become a child of God. But if I do, I know what's going to happen. Because the closer I get to that fire, I know that I'm going to be put to the test. You're exactly right about that. And so sometimes what people do is they know that challenge is there. They know that test is there. And so instead of drawing close to the fire, they pull back in the background. They try to blend into the darkness and avoid the light as much as possible. That way, if they can be back in the background, there are no expectations and nobody really pays any attention and nobody really notices them. But they know that if they become a Christian, people are going to know, hey, he was baptized the other day. They're going to start watching, and they will notice you in a way that they didn't notice you before. Why? Because the light calls attention to you. The Bible says that we shine as lights in the world. And if there's something in our life that causes us not to shine in this dark world, then people are going to see that. Let me talk about it in a still different way. Think about this fire of being a part of getting involved as a Christian and what we as Christians can do as members of the body of Christ, both individually and as a congregation. The Bible shows that we're to use our opportunities, we're to use our talents, and we're to use our abilities. Now, you differ from another person, and another person differs from you. What you can do in the church is maybe different from somebody else, but you use whatever talents and whatever opportunities that you have. And that's what Matthew chapter 25 is about, the parable of the talents. The talent that Jesus is speaking about, of course, is money, but that represents talents in the sense of abilities. It represents opportunities. It represents all kinds of things like that that you have at your disposal. So use them as an individual. Use them as a congregation. And the more that you do this, The more that you draw closer to the fire, so to speak, closer to the fire of involvement in the church, then the more light is going to be thrown on you, and the more you will be tested. What am I talking about? Well, in the congregation, let's suppose that you say, well, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do anything that I can. If you're a male in the congregation, you say, well, if I can, I'm going to lead singing, or I'm going to lead a prayer, or I'll help wait on the Lord's table. I'll do anything in the worship services that I can. If you're a male or female in the Bible class department here that we have, you say, well, I'll do whatever I can. If I can teach, I will teach. If I can help somebody else teach a class, then I will do that. If I can just stand in and substitute, I'll do that. Whatever I can do in the church is what I'm willing to do. Anytime that you pull closer to the fire and you commit yourself and you pull closer to the light of involvement, the more you're going to be tested. Why is that? Because it's just a fact, folks. The more that you get involved, the more apt you are to eventually be criticized. The more you get involved, the more apt you are eventually, at least at times, to get discouraged. Listen, that's part of it. It's just part of it. And what happens many times is, I believe, people see that fire and they want to avoid it. Oh, I don't want to get too involved because, you know, if I get in there and I really get to doing something, somebody's going to say something about me. I'm going to be criticized and I'm going to get discouraged at times. I'm going to get tired at times. I may even get burned out. And so they try to avoid that fire for that reason. I know that there's a cost that goes to getting involved in the Lord's service. I know that what I've said is true. I know that that describes what sometimes happens. Yes, if you do anything worthwhile in this lifetime, especially in the church, you're going to be criticized. It's going to happen, folks. And if you do anything worthwhile, especially in the kingdom of God, at times you're going to be disappointed. But let me tell you something. If you never use your abilities, then you will never know the fulfillment and the joy of serving the Lord. You weigh that on the other hand. If you're looking at the cost that's there, oh, if I get too close to the flame, then I'm going to be tested and I know that I'm going to have some hardships if I get involved in the church. You think about the opposite of that. And the opposite is that you never give your talents, you never really get involved in any way in the church. What you're missing out on. What you're missing out on, especially just in this life, folks, the fulfillment and the joy of knowing that kind of level of servitude. So it is with becoming an elder or a deacon in the church. If you're qualified for those areas and you never serve in those areas, you'll never experience the trials that those men go through. You'll never experience, let's say, the disappointment that sometimes goes with it, the fatigue that goes with it, the pain that goes with it as well, and I'm talking about the pain on the inside, and the criticism that sometimes goes with being a leader in the church. Yes, that's going to happen. But at the same time, you will never know how rewarding it is. You'll never know the fulfillment and the satisfaction that comes from knowing that you've done your dead level best to serve in the Lord's church and to do everything that you can to make the Lord's church prosper. Sometimes people stay away from the flame. I'm trying to tell us tonight and encourage us all to get closer to the flame. Yes, there are going to be disappointments. Yes, there are going to be trials. But that's where the level of service is that you and I need to be involved in. Let me talk about this as well. Taking the gospel to other people is like a fire. And it really tests you. The Bible talks about the fact that when you tell people what the scriptures say, on an individual level, on a congregational level like I'm doing right now, if you're talking with one of your neighbors or somebody that you work with, when you share the gospel with other people, it is true, you kind of open yourself up because some people are not going to like what you say. Some people are going to argue with you. Some people are going to go all the way around the world to get around what you're saying. It's going to be aggravating. It's going to be frustrating. There's some people that want to avoid all that. I'll let somebody else do that. I'll let the preacher do that. I'll let some of those elders and deacons. I'll let some of the other members of the church. I'll let them do that. If you never invite anybody to come to church, if you never talk to anybody about their soul, if you never bring up the Bible in a discussion, yes, you're going to avoid the heat of controversy. But you're also not going to be doing what you should be doing. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, that we should be ready to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and with fear. Jude 3 says to earnestly contend for the faith. So the choice is, do we step up to the fire and receive the challenges and have our faith tested, or do we pull back to the shadows? Do we pull back to the background and say, let somebody else do that? I don't want the heat of that controversy. Let somebody else have it because I am going to avoid it. You know, preachers are in the same camp here. And I find that there are some preachers that don't want to pull up to the flame. They don't want to get close to the fire because they're going to be tested. Well, the fact is, when a man stands up before a group of people, time after time, week after week, he's going to be judged by the Lord first and foremost. He's going to answer to God for what he has said. And the Bible says that those who are teachers of God's word are going to be judged more severely than other people. James chapter 3 and verse 1. So he is going to be tested anyway. He is going to be judged. But I know that sometimes there are preachers that shy away from the fire because the light is shining on them. And they know that if they get close to preaching on some subjects, they know that they're going to be tested. They know they're going to be criticized. They know that some people are not going to like what they're saying. I was just talking to somebody this past week who's a member of the Right to Life movement. A movement in this country that is designed to speak out for the rights of the unborn to live. I mean, if there's anything that we ought to be clear on, if there's anything that ought to be settled, is that a little baby has the right to live. There shouldn't be any debate about this. One woman was talking with her, quote, pastor about that. And she wanted him, she asked him if he would announce some of their events, if he would put in the bulletin, if they would announce from their pulpit and during their services some of the details about the organization, some of their events, some of their drives that they have to protect the unborn and to speak out against the sin of abortion. And he said, we don't want to get mixed up in that. And he is a, quote, pastor at a very large denominational church in this area. What's he doing? He doesn't want to get close to the fire. Because up there close to the fire, you get challenged. Up there close to the fire, he's going to be tested. So he's going to pull back to the background and say, well, you know, we really don't want to deal with issues like that. What he's saying, in effect, is I'm not going to preach what the Bible says about those things because it's just too controversial and I might lose my job, among other things. Isn't that sad? The Bible shows that someday we will all be brought before the fire of the judgment. The light of God's word and the light of God's countenance, so to speak, will shine upon us in the judgment day. And our hearts and our lives will be like an open book. And even the secret things, the Bible says, will be judged in that day by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 2 and verse 16. I urge us all tonight, children of God, if you're a Christian tonight, I urge each and every one of you to go up closer to the flame. Draw closer to it. Don't fear it. And yes, you might make some mistakes. I'm not saying that every time that your faith is tested, because you say, okay, I'm going to get up there close to the fire, I'm going to do a perfect job every time. I'm going to pass every test of my faith. Because you're not going to do everything right all the time. You're going to fail some tests, but do you win the war? You're going to lose some battles. Sometimes you may even fall flat on your face like Peter did. But you know what? He didn't give up. Just because Peter failed that night, he got close to the fire and he failed 3 times that night. You know what he could have done? He could have said, you know what, I'm not going to get involved anymore because I got burned pretty bad the last time. I really got myself into a mess and I made some huge mistakes. So I'm not going to do any preaching. I'm not going to do anything as far as I'm going to resign as an apostle. I'm not going to have anything to do with that because I made such a mess of it the first time. He didn't do that, did he? And I'm glad. I'm glad that old Peter just kept going and he didn't get so down on himself and beat himself up and say, well, I'm worthless. I might as well quit and there's no need for me to go on. The same thing is going to be true with you and I from time to time. And I urge us to keep going and to have that determination like the Apostle Peter did. And Peter was the one who wrote these words in 1 Peter 3:21, that the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. That was true in the first century. That's true tonight. If you are not a Christian, The Bible shows that baptism does save us. 1 Peter chapter 3, 21, that simply means that when you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, when you repent of your sins, when you confess Him before men and you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, your soul is cleansed from the sins that you've committed in your life. And if in your life as a child of God, you've not lived faithfully to God, you've avoided the fire because you didn't want to be involved, you didn't want to be dedicated to the Lord, then we urge you to have a change of mind and a change of heart tonight. God will forgive us as we repent of our sins and we ask Him for forgiveness.